It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to episode 48 of the Sunday League Pundit Show. You have myself, Stretch, my very good friend Jim Jam. On camera and off camera, we have Tin Ribs. How are we, gentlemen?
Okay, yeah, good.
I thought it was going to be a very quiet pod for a split second.
Yeah.
Do we have a Jim Jam, the stat man stat for this week?
Yeah. Wonderful. There was one that I liked, and it's the longest scoring run in domestic competitive domestic games at the moment with I'll tell you, at second is Manchester City, who have extended theirs by a game, but the other team has extended, and that would be Stockport
County.
21 games scoring run, which is pretty impressive
actually, isn't it?
And City are only one behind. Yeah. Although they did lose their unbeaten record because they lost 4-1 this week.
Scored, though.
But
I mean, at least they kept one.
There are a few unbeaten teams at the moment. Still in the 92.
Yeah, there's a couple out there. There's not too many, but there's a couple. Right, I think that is a good place for us to play the music. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Sunday League Pundit Show.
Yeah.
We good?
Yeah.
Better than last week?
Yeah.
Wasn't happy last week. No. You better than last week?
I drank to make it better.
Yeah, you're about as annoyed at your game as I am at the one that we've just currently watched.
Yeah.
We've just finished watching Man City versus Arsenal, of which conceding the equaliser in the last sort of dying embers of the game was very depressing, because I do think we'd done enough to earn the 3 points, but it's the way football goes, and part of me is really sorry to see Rodri go off injured the way he was, because nobody touched him. It was one of them injuries that looks really bad even though there's no contact. Part of me thinks, well, you'll get your rest now, you whinging twat, because Rodri did come out in the week and says that players make one strike because they play too many games. I don't know if you'd heard that.
No.
Yes, Rodri.
Diddums.
He says, we play too many games and we should strike. Shut up, is all I can say to that. When you've got two full teams... That was not...
Hey.
Strikes again.
When you've got two full teams at your disposal...
Yeah.
Two full first teams at your disposal, you shouldn't be moaning about the amount of games that you're playing. Just tell your gaffer you need a break.
Yeah.
Get somebody to step in for you.
It's like they're going to play Watford in the League Cup during the week. And I'm pretty sure that Man City can make 11 changes to their team.
Comfortably.
And the bench.
Comfortably. And
yeah, they could probably change the bench and the first team.
And probably comfortably beat Watford, I'd imagine.
I would agree.
But you never know.
I would agree.
Sometimes,
bringing it up,
shocks
nice,
happen.
Bringing it up nice nearly as we do. Forest did beat Liverpool, and not many were expecting that.
No.
It was a great game. I enjoyed watching that.
Yeah.
Go Forest.
But we're still in the League Cup, which was a bonus. We won on penalties.
And
it was an okay game.
I did like the fact that he mentioned to in the chat, McCarthy, I don't think he's ever saved a penalty. And I was like, yeah, this was the first time. 2 seconds later, he saved a penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair play to him.
Tipped it onto the post.
He likes to prove you wrong, a bit like Raya's done with me this season.
Yeah.
After all that complaining I did last season, although justified last season, I may add, he's we were saying during the City Arsenal game, I turned around to you two and said, I genuinely think he's been one of the best keepers on the planet right now.
I mean, McCarthy was brilliant in midweek. He played a solid game, easily one of the two players that could be man of the match. I mean, Taylor Arbour-Bellis was superb. He took the captain's armband, which I'm okay with. He could very easily be the captain. He does it for the England under 21, so got leadership attributes there. So, and he cares about the club, and you can see that, so I really like that. And he's not entitled to play just because he's a captain like Stevens, although a bonus that I did see in the week, he may get an extra ban because apparently he used abusive language towards the official.
Players banned for longer just so they can't play. You're really not a big fan of him, are you?
I'm not going to lie, that challenge was horrendous.
It was awful, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the fact that he kicked off and obviously abused the referee and that.
I mean, I will say we've had a few red cards today.
Just a few. Managers and all sorts.
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty bad. There's been a good few. Obviously, we had yet again a load of bullshit in the Arsenal game where Doku can stop Rice from taking a free kick with nothing at all. Trossard kicks the ball away, gets yellow carded and then sent off for it. So if the FA and the PGMOL want to stamp out all us pathetic fans crying about conspiracies and crying about choosing who they want to win the league, stop getting these fucking decisions so badly wrong. Stop making so many obvious errors, because if you continue to make them errors, you're going to make yourself look bad. You're making you look bad. Us then judging you for your bad decisions isn't making you look bad. Your bad decisions are making you look bad.
Yes, but this is 2024. And your first point of call when you fuck up is to blame fans and the people that buy your product.
It's like the whole of football has now just become Liverpool. It's not like, just do what you want, just blame somebody else for it afterwards.
Everything. Absolutely it's everything so these days irritating. Is we have this agenda, we have this thing to sell, blah, blah, blah. And then when everyone goes, we ain't buying it, fuck you. Oh, it's all your fault, you toxic people, and blah, blah, blah. And that's just the way it is. So FA will continue to do it. That's just the way it is.
It's bloody annoying. Unfortunately,
I agree with the fact that Doku should have got yellow carded, but Trossard should have got sent off.
Well, I'll listen intensely, because I'll probably watch ref watch and I'll see what
Mr.
Arslicker,
I'll just agree with the fucking ref
and to see what justification that he comes up with to why
the difference
Doku doesn't get
to fucking melt.
When Doku kicked the ball away, Rice had placed the ball down and was about to kick it when Doku kicked it away.
Yeah.
When Trossard did it, just after the ref blew his whistle, so they weren't about to take the free kick, they'd only just that second been awarded it. And the ball was nowhere near where the foul was done. So it was a foul, it was a free kick, and he did kick the ball away. But he wasn't really delaying play, because they weren't going to get the ball back any quicker anyway. Because had he not kicked it, he'd have just let it run away. In which case, they'd have had to have fetched it regardless.
I mean, he could have made it easy. He could have just booked him for the foul, and couldn't moan then, about it then.
Well, he could, because I don't think it was a bookable offence, that foul. I think it was a foul, but I don't think it was a booking.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here, just to annoy you. So you were moaning about when Rice got sent off for kicking the ball away. Mm. And that in your own defence, you were saying that the thing that pissed you off was Santos did it. There was no Arsenal player near the ball. The ball had gone out for a throw at the halfway line and he smashed it off the other end of the pitch.
Which what's is exactly
delaying?
What Trossard has just been known for.
What's he delaying? Your defence is now your own prosecution.
This is what I'm saying to you. I even said last week, I don't dispute that. I don't think he should have been booked. Letter of the law, he should. But looking at it sensibly, he shouldn't. But neither should Rice. Use your common sense. Letter of the law, he should have been booked. But so should the Wolves player.
Brighton. He was Brighton.
Brighton. So should the Brighton player. He should have been sent off by the letter of the law. But common sense tells you neither one should have been sent off. Because Arsenal could have just picked a ball from the side of the pitch and carried on. And Rice knocked it less than a blade of grass away. And he was not kicking that ball to anybody upfield. Number one, the ball was still moving. And number two, there was nobody where he was aiming the ball. So we weren't delaying play.
Yeah, we know that.
He was intentionally trying to get us on top. Yeah, we know that. Now today, Doku was intentionally trying to delay play because Rice was about to take the free kick and Doku knocked it away from him.
Yeah, right. I'm not disputing any of this. My argument is...
I think they're saying that Doku moved him because Rice wasn't taking the free kick in the right place, so Doku moved the ball to the correct position.
How many free kicks are taken from the Rice?
Exactly.
Spot? No,
I'm not saying why, but that'll probably be
again,
what...
But again, I'm still just going on the whole thing. When Rice got sent off, he was kicking off no end about how Santos should have been booked as well.
Yeah.
But now he's saying that Trossard shouldn't have been booked for the same reason... Because he didn't interfere with play.
No, what did I say to you when we were watching the game? I said Trossard kicked the ball away and should have been booked. Only if Doku's going to get booked exact same offence in the first half.
But
so
I'm not
I don't
disputing
dispute
that.
The yellow. So I'm not disputing the yellow.
But you were a second ago. You were saying wasn't initially.
Because Doku wasn't booked. That's the only reason. So if you're not going to stick to the rule there, don't stick to
the rule
there.
No, I agree with that.
That's
but you said... The ball wasn't ready to be kicked, so it hasn't delayed play, which is the exact same as Santos. 2 weeks ago, you were screaming for Santos to be booked for the exact same thing.
What I'm saying is, if you're going to go by the letter of the law, go by the letter of the law on all things.
I agree.
You can't, on two games now, it's gone against Arsenal for both the same things. Yeah. And the second Doku kicked the ball away in the first half, straight away, all the Arsenal fans are murmuring around that stadium. Because Rice had been there the week before. So the ref knew he'd messed up and then still went and kept to the rules when it comes to Arsenal. Well, you're starting a massive conspiracy theory now. Because, okay, when it happens once against Rice, you can have this argument that, well, you know, yeah, okay, he missed the first one, but he got the second. But now it's happened twice for the same exact thing. Now you're starting the conspiracy yourself by your referee being so fucking poor.
I think if you're Arteta, you're taking all the players in there and you're going, 100%. Right, you do not kick the ball away. If you kick the ball away any game now, you've got on a week's fine of your wages or something
like that.
Literally
say,
go massive punishment for his players.
What I will say is the bottom line of this is the Arsenal players are doing shit they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And they're doing shit they shouldn't be doing when they've already been booked. That's the bottom line to all of it.
Yeah.
You're doing something you shouldn't be doing after you've been booked. But then reading between the lines, you've now got two separate referees that have screwed Arsenal over. Both have lost us victories, in my opinion. I don't think we'd have been beaten by City today or drawn with them if we'd got 11 players. We've beaten them in the first half. I think we'd have beaten them in the second half.
I think you were handed a second goal.
Yeah.
I don't disagree, but I think our attacks were better than theirs. So I think we'd have caused more problems in the second half than they'd have caused us had we kept 11 on the pitch. Because we were in the first half. So whether you want to argue that Martinelli fouled the keeper, which at second glance, I agree with. Yeah. First one I didn't. I was like, there's nothing wrong with it. He was just there. You look at it again and he does look at the keeper and stand there and sort of walk back into him. So it is a foul and should have been disallowed. But Arsenal were the better side, in my opinion, in that first half. They had less of the ball, but their attacks were better. So I think we'd have won that game anyway. So my biggest issue is... The PGMOL have now caused themselves a problem because they've had two referees that have made the same error that's led to Arsenal not only losing a player, but now losing 4 points. We're now 4 points worse off than we should be because of refereeing mistakes.
You know, I saw something in the week as well, and it made me laugh, and it was after you'd beaten Spurs... by a goal from a corner, and somebody come out on the punditry and just turn around and go, Arsenal are basically Stoke. They're just set-piece specialists. So where Stoke just used to score from throw-ins, Arsenal just score from set-pieces. It just kind of made me laugh about it.
That was a hell of a corner that Calafiori took today, then.
It came from a set-piece, though.
Didn't come from a corner.
No.
It's not saying.
Well, Stoke didn't only score from throw-ins, though, did they?
If we are the new Stoke, we play better football than Stoke ever did. And it's working, so I'm okay with it. Because I still like watching the football. I bet Stoke fans didn't enjoy watching their football back in the day.
Oh, who knows?
Because their football was shocking.
It was just one of them things that I saw and I thought, wow.
But I can see the resemblance. But I'm all right with it because we still play good football. And stop giving corners away because you know we're good at them.
Yeah.
So just stop giving them away. It's crazy. And then the irony is that we lost it on a corner.
Yeah. I mean, Gabriel headers from corners are just insane, isn't it? I've got to say, I wouldn't like him running at you or whatever, would you?
You wouldn't like to defend against him, would you? No. I think that's why Walker was trying to put him off, but he tried so hard he forgot to track him
defend.
Back.
Yeah. I mean, that was funny. And when he looks back at that goal, he's going to be proper annoyed.
Oh, I hope now. His entire group of friends is going to annihilate him for that because he was so busy prattling about.
What's he doing? Really... Go on, score, score, go on, score,
I dare
score.
You. I dare you. Gabriel just runs up and goes, all right, no worries. Yeah. Although, admittedly, it was with a little help from his mate, Martinelli.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Fouling the keeper.
We managed to get away with that one, but at least they didn't lose a player through the mistake, eh?
So VAR could have intervened and they didn't. Suppose that takes us on to a quite a big incident in the Spurs game with Vicario handling the ball.
How did VAR miss that? First one, fine. Second one, fine. No problem with either of them. But then the ball was clearly out the area and he clearly knocks that ball with his hand in front of him.
Yeah.
At least a yard and a half outside the area. It's not even close.
I mean, the first ones are kind of like, oh, it's borderline. They might have to have a bit of luck.
The first two, I'm like, there's nothing wrong with that. But then that third one, you're like, oh.
He's definitely out there.
That third one, I'm not sure about. And then they showed the replay. You're like, that is obviously now outside the area. So I get why the refs missed it, because I was borderline on the third one initially. But then when you see it on VAR, you're like, that is clearly outside the area.
And it's a red card.
Red card for handling outside the area. But they get away with it. It's the PGMOL are not fit for purpose. The referees are not fit for purpose. VAR is not fit for purpose. And we are meant to be the greatest league in the world. We have more mistakes than any other league on the planet. We take longer with decisions than any other league on the planet. And we get more decisions wrong, even though we're taking longer. Yeah. How are we the best in the world at anything? What are we the best in the world at, exactly? Because all our best players, correct me if I'm wrong, are foreign imports.
Mm.
The only referee we've given any form of praise in the last 12 months is a foreign import.
Mm.
What are we the best at, exactly?
I mean, I know that you watched the game.
That silence, folks, tells you everything you need to know.
I know what we're best at.
Making errors.
Over-hyping our team in the media.
Our international team.
Oh, yeah.
100% behind you there. We are actually really good at that.
Yeah.
We are the best.
But then we're the best at knocking them down when they don't do what they're not capable of doing, but we tell them they should be doing.
Absolutely.
I suppose we are the best at something. Yeah. But I meant the EPL. It's meant to be the best league in the world. What is it the best at, other than importing the best players and the best officials? Because all the English ones are garbage.
I mean, the Atlanta penalty the other day took quite a while to make a decision, didn't it?
It was a clear pen. I didn't even need VAR to tell me that was a pen. I saw it and I put my head in my hands. I'm like, oh my God, here we go.
Watched it, why did you think it was a pen? Was it for did you see the clip?
Yeah. You could see it move like... You just, well,
because it depended, like...
Just shouldn't have done it. It's a pen. It's a pen. It is what it is. You're just going to have to deal with it.
Because obviously the drag is, like, outside the box and...
It started outside the box, yeah. But the main foul for me was inside. And that's...
You see, if he didn't give a penalty, would it get overturned? Is it clear and obvious? Because the only question that VAR should... Because the only decision that VAR should have made on that decision is when they speak to the ref going, what have you given the penalty for? Is it for the contact in the box or is it the drag in the pull? Because then if it's for the pull, then I don't think it's a penalty. So then he should be reviewing the footage to make a decision whether or not he thinks it's a penalty. Because
plus, if both of them are foul, you should go with the first one.
Yeah, and then the decision is... dead quick because they do that where it looked like they were looking for the clip.
It's the same way that if a player gets played through but he's offside then gets taken out by the keeper they don't give the foul, they give the offside, because the offside came first. So if you're going to give both of them fouls, you need to give the free kick on the edge of the box. Yeah. But if you're going to let them get away with the pull, because it happens, everybody pulls shirts and pulls arms and shit like that. And it wasn't a major, he didn't drag him to the floor. It was just a quick pull. So if you're going to overlook that and give the second one, anyway, I'm okay with it.
Because if the ref says, oh, he made contact in the box, he's clipped his leg, then VAR looks at it and goes, easy. And it shouldn't have taken that long for him to give the penalty.
Now, for me, the penalty was decent and a very good save. The rebound was an incredible save, but he had 95% of the goal to aim for. So as a striker, I would look at that and say
it's a horrendous miss.
Really poor finishing.
I think it's almost identical to Chesney's one.
Mm.
And like I said to you guys, getting the right way, going the right way is one. But first thing you taught as a goalkeeper is always get it out of the danger zone. And he just puts it straight back in. And then, like when even Onana's, anyone's that you sort of watch with these double saves, 99% of the time, the reason the double save is made is purely because the striker just hits it straight into where the keeper is.
So that makes me think, is it a good save then? Or is it luck?
Still a good save.
He's still got to get there.
But he's still got to get across.
So
that's good. And he's still got to push it out of danger the second time. Now he knows he's made the mistake the first one. And he's gone back in
and he's up quick.
He's rapid to get up and rapid to get across. But now he knows, I cannot do that again. I've got to get it out. And he gets a good hand on that, considering he's at full stretch. And pushes it into the Arsenal player for then a corner.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a great save.
Yeah, yeah.
But still poor finishing. So it can be both.
They are great saves, but the strikers should have done better.
Why are you heading that down? You talk to head down. Like, as a striker, you talk to head down on corners and on crosses. Because the keeper's up and he's coming at you.
Yeah.
When the keeper's already on the floor, I've got some advice for you. Don't go towards the floor.
In theory,
that's where he's at.
He should have headed it to his right slightly. Because he had plenty of goal right and up.
Head it straight and head it hard.
But he hit it down back towards the keeper.
And he's got no chance whether he gets up quick or not.
If we just compare it to like when Watkins had the double save in the league.
And that's an horrendous miss.
It's a great double save. It's a great double save. Don't take away from Raya. But
no, it's not a double save that one because it hit the crossbar.
Oh, sorry, it hit the crossbar, didn't it? But it's still getting up and...
Yeah.
But Watkins' shot was shocking.
It was, but for me, it can be both. It can be a great save and poor finisher.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of keepers would still have conceded the second one on the penalty.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have got up quite quick enough.
Yeah.
Or not got across quite quick enough. And with the Watkins...
Hence the reason it's a great save.
Exactly the same thing with Watkins. A lot of keepers would not get off... Because he got up super fast for the Watkins one. Yes, Watkins made it very easy for him once he was on his feet. But... Mm. I don't think many keepers would have got up and across that quick. But again, looking at it from a goal scorer's point of view, both very, very, very poor finishes. Watkins could have chested that down and smashed it with his right foot.
Yeah.
In which case, it doesn't matter how quick Raya's on his feet, he ain't getting anywhere near it.
Yeah.
But the second one off the penalty, he didn't have time to take it down, didn't have time to put his foot through it, but all he had to do was just give it a bit with his head.
Yeah.
And he just nodded it down. It's still a great save, don't get me wrong. And I'm not taking anything away from Raya for once. But it was a poor finish.
Yeah. And obviously there's a lot of luck to it as well. But you train for that. The keepers are... Yeah. And it's all reactions. And so on that part. And like I say, it is luck.
How much time do you spend going through them drills? Go down to the side, get up and go across. Down to the side, up and go across.
That's kind of what you do. That is drills. That is the stuff that you do in training all
day
the
in,
time.
Day out.
It's one thing that, as a kid, I loved it. I would do it till I puked. These days, not so many. They tend to moan when they have to be worked. But they're the ones that don't make it.
Well, it's as simple as that, isn't it? If you want to make it, you've got to put that work
in. I've got to say,
we know that from when we were younger.
Playing in goal and doing the training drills... At times, not that I was ever a keeper, but sometimes you did goalie training just for
if you do
laugh and stuff like that.
It's hard work.
It is hard work. And, you know, making them saves does feel good.
So, when I was back end of Sunday League, I had the fortune to play with a lad called Paul, and he was one of the best keepers I've played with. And when he broke his neck, he went more into coaching. So we started doing all this coaching badges and stuff. And one day, me and him were doing drills, and the fittest lad in the whole team, you'll remember him, Craig, the one we nicknamed the Hulk. Mm-hmm. He was just a machine, just continuously running, just absolute monster in the gym. Absolutely.
Good player. He's a decent player as well.
And he turned around and went, "God, you guys have got it easy." Now, he's best friends with Paul and Paul went, "All right then, okay. Come over here." After three of the five reps we were doing, he couldn't get up off the floor and just went, "How the fuck do you do it?" And we're like, "Looks easy. It's not easy." And he couldn't do it.
This guy
can run marathons. Absolute machine. And it broke him. Absolutely broke him.
Yeah, it is a pain in the arse doing keeper training. Like,
keeper training looks easy, but it isn't.
No.
There's no stopping to it. It's just constant. It's okay. Because what they'll do when you're training as a keeper, as opposed to when you're training as a striker, like, you'll have shooting drills as a striker.
Yeah.
But then not only is the three or four strikers in the team, so you'll go take your shot, then go to the back of the queue. You've only got one keeper. But they don't go, "Well, we'll do this drill and then do it and then move on." They'll go, "We'll do this drill for five, then we'll do this drill for five, then we'll do this drill for five." And then all 15 of them are... And you've got to get up, move. And then you're, by the time it's finished, knackered. And then you sort of, drink time. And they go, "Right, now we'll move on to this drill." You're like, "Hang on a fucking minute. I haven't recovered from them yet." Like, you don't get to recover.
Keepers are a relief when it's game time.
It's easy. Games are easy.
Yeah, training hard.
You just stood there. The training's pain in the arse because it's just non-stop.
Training's brutal.
Because they'll say, like, "Well, if you go into a game, like Arsenal today, and you go down to 10 men, you're going to be like this for 40 minutes, 50 minutes, 60 minutes, however long it is.
There is
and you're going to have to be capable of doing it."
I mean, we did say Ryan looked knackered.
Yeah.
He really did look knackered, didn't he? But to be fair, I can't even blame him for the goal we conceded.
You know what?
No.
He'd gone down for something else, and it ricocheted then to the City player, who then just drilled it against him. And he even got his leg to that, trying to, and it ended up going in the roof of the net.
What
are you looking at?
I wondered who got man of the match for the game.
City.
Well, according to FotMob, obviously that's not necessarily the right one. It was Savino.
Really remember seeing him do anything.
Awful.
But, literally,
I did it for about 20 minutes.
Calafuri and Savino basic had 7.8. Raya had a 7.7. He's the third highest player. For me, I'd probably say Raya was probably man of the match.
Probably.
Yeah. Definitely.
He made three absolute class saves.
I don't think there's any dispute that Raya was man of the match today. No. Google it instead of FotMob. See if it tells you, because Sky Sports will know more than, because they're the ones that give it out, aren't they?
Yeah.
So yeah, just try Sky Sports and see what comes up on there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that FotMob don't actually watch the games.
No, and they just...
Because half the time it goes to a goal scorer. Oh, he scored a goal. He's man of the match.
Reality.
Well, to be fair, like... yeah, it pretty much is. But yeah, I was very, very annoyed. But again, very pleased with Raya and the defending. Defending was superb. And to be fair, you can't even call it a lapse in concentration that we conceded. It was a rebound.
Bit strange that Calafiori started, though.
I thought it was weird that... I mean, I didn't think it was strange that Calafiori started. He's a left-back, so if you want to play him over Timber, then that's fine. Timber, Calafiori. For me, there's not a lot in it. They're both great players. Starting Timber over Ben White on the right was a bit weird for me. But it worked. They both did really well. Calafiori and Timber were both superb today. I can't really fault either one of them. Timber was a bit knackered towards the end. David Raya, man of the match. Not really a shock.
Nice.
Don't check FotMob for man of the matches. Go to Sky, because they're the ones that hand it out in the first place. They get the commentators to do it.
Yeah. I mean...
It's just...
It baffled me just... I mean, is... I mean, Timber's superb or played well and, to be fair,
really well.
Done but well at right. But it makes you think, is Ben White's place up for grabs? You know what I mean? Is it based on the team they're playing?
I think after all Ben White has done.
On the player ratings on Sky Sports, Timber.
I mean, he played well, but I wouldn't have him down as man of the match.
How the hell did he get man? Oh, I give up.
Like I say, he played well.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a man of the match performance.
Literally, most of your defence got a 7.
I think they should probably be higher than that, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, it must be nice having, you know, a good 5 defenders at your team that can easily go in.
We've not had that since Winterburn, Dixon, Adams, Keown and Bold.
Yeah.
And you're talking early 90s since we've had that. So to go all that time where Ashley Cole's world class.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got Kolo Torey, he's great. Then he's not in. Then Campbell's there and Campbell's great. But then the right back, Lauren, he was a good right back. But he got his faults. Great penalty taker. But we've never really had that solid back 5 on the pitch with one that could come in and just be absolutely fine. Whereas now we've got that. And it's the first time we've had it for years and years and years. But then to have Declan Rice as well, who, you know, is very, very good at defensive play.
I mean, you've probably got the best defence in football.
I'd probably agree with that right now. As a defensive unit, I would agree, yeah.
Yeah, I can't really name another team in world football that's got a better defence right now.
You'd be hard-pushed to find one, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It'd be very hard.
I mean, there's obviously teams with great defenders and have a couple, but to have a completely solid 5, when you include the keeper as well, is rare.
Unheard of, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age. Because most of your wing-backs, and like Trent Alexander-Arnold's a perfect example, superb going forward, very dodgy defending.
Yeah.
Whereas we seem to have a really good mix right now. Now we've finally got rid of Zinchenko and stopped him. We haven't got rid of him, but at least we don't play him now. So now we've stopped putting him on the pitch. We seem to have a really, really good mix of our defence. And Saliba and Gabriel. I think Gabriel needs Saliba with him.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, I don't think Gabriel would be so good on his own. I'd trust Saliba on his own. If Ben White had to come in or Calafiori had to come in as a centre-back, I'd trust Saliba 100%. If it was Saliba that was out and somebody was coming in, I wouldn't be quite as confident.
I think the only thing that breaks up that defence is obviously somebody coming in and buying them, and that'll only happen if you don't start winning trophies to go with it.
And I think we need to win some this season.
Otherwise, somebody's going to go. If we go into the FA
Cup not taking it seriously again, we're in trouble, because I don't think we're going to win the league. If we'd have won today and we'd have got the points, I think that would have given us a boost. I said to you two, I think if we win today, I think we'll go on and win it.
Even if City get a big points deduction?
That's not us winning it, though, is it?
Technically, you do.
It's the league being given to us. It's not us winning it.
It'll be an asterisk league, won't it?
It's the same, you know, like COVID. Same as the Liverpool one when they won it. Everyone's going to look at that Liverpool year and go, ah, COVID, we had a big break. You only won it because your fans weren't there, because when your fans are there, you're shite. You know, the greatest fans in the world. Fucking idiots. The thing for me is, we need to win it. We need to go this season, City no points deductions. Maybe they start next season with a points deduction or a relegation. Whatever it is, don't care. Don't start it this season. Because if you hammer City, people will look at that table and go, okay, City finished with 50 points. But had they not been deducted, they'd be 1 point ahead of you. That's when you're screwed. Now, if City get deducted points, say City lose 30 points, and they finished 31 points behind Arsenal, it's not an asterisk league for me, because we'd have beaten them anyway.
Yeah.
But if City get deducted 30 points, and we're ahead of them by 29, or 30 with a worse goal difference, then it's an asterisk league. And you don't want to win it like that. Nobody wants to win it like that. I'd celebrate it, and I'd be happy about it, but there's always that thing in the back of your mind going, shouldn't be arse.
Yeah.
We did not get the most points that season.
It's like if they strip titles away from them.
They don't do that, though, because they didn't with Juventus.
1 year they did. There's 1 year that no winner.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It doesn't pass on to the next.
Yeah.
They may take the title away from City. They may even take three or four away from City. But it's not like medals in the Olympics where they then go to whoever finished second and give them a gold instead of a silver. You don't do that in football.
That's okay.
You'll just take the title off City and it'll be 17, 18, 19 and null and void. 20 is okay because Liverpool won it, 21, 22, null and void. There'll be no winner for it that year. And it'll just be like FFP regulations and this, that and the other. There'll be no going into it. But I think we can go more into maybe some of the other games in the second half because we're pushing on a little bit. So we're going to go to break and we shall be back with you beautiful, beautiful people shortly. Hello and welcome back from the break. As we do with part two, we will start with our game, Who Am I? Which totals now, we have Jim Jam on 55 points. We have Tin Ribs on 57 points. Sorry, moving away from the mic. Might go quiet. Right, so how it works, for those that don't know, I have chosen three players randomly to give some information about. And I will give you three lots of information about said player. If you get the player right in the first part, you get 5 points. Second part, you get 3 points. Third part, you get one. If you don't get it after that, you don't deserve any. There are three players. There are three parts. Let's get going. Week 9, player 1, part 1. I was born on the 22nd of September 1970, making me 53. In Dieppe, France. I'm 6 foot one. I started my senior career in 1988, Monaco. Playing 222 games, scoring 4 goals. I am a midfielder. Who am I? So while they're having a quick think, for you guys at home, you get the clues again. I was born on the 22nd of September 1970, making me 53 years old. I was born in Dieppe, France. I'm 6 foot one. I started my senior career in 1988 at Monaco, playing 222 games, scoring 4 goals. I am a midfielder. Who am I? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Names, please. Okay. Okay. You weren't listening, were you?
Yeah.
I'll go into that at the end, but he wasn't listening. Right, part two. I joined Arsenal in 1997, playing 85 games, scoring 9 goals. I joined Barcelona in 2000, playing 23 games, scoring 1 goal. I joined Chelsea in 2001, playing 55 games, scoring 2 goals. Who am I? For those that are at home listening, you get them clues again. I joined Arsenal in 1997, playing 85 games, scoring 9 goals. I joined Barcelona in 2000, playing 23 games, scoring 1 goal. I joined Chelsea in 2001, played 55 games, scoring 2 goals. Who am I? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Names on a postcard. We have one there, and we have one there. Part three. For those that don't know, the reason I'm not reading out their names or saying whether they're right or not is to give you guys at home a chance in case you haven't got it yet. And to give these two guys a chance in case one's got it and the other hasn't. I don't want to give it away. So, part three. I am a defensive midfielder or a left back. Even at 6 foot one, you may call me small. I have 1 Premier League, 1 FA Cup, 2 Community Shields, 1 World Cup and 1 European Championship. Who am I? Again, for the guys at home, I am a defensive midfielder but can play left back. Even at 6 foot one, you may call me small. I have 1 Premier League, 1 FA Cup, 2 Community Shields, 1 World Cup and 1 European Championship. Who am I? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Answers on a postcard. Okay. Right. I'm going to go into what I was going to go into. Right. You've got the right answer.
Oh.
You very nearly had the right answer, then crossed it out and put a striker there.
It's because he started as a midfielder. So I thought you were trying to throw me.
Right. The answer was Manu Petit.
Who actually was writing.
He put it for 5 points and crossed it out and wrote Henri.
It's because you. Oh, it was the. It was. I'm going to throw you. If you hadn't have said that, I was like.
Well, the bit was that even at 6 foot one, you may call me small.
Yeah, I know.
It was then pity. So, it could have been 5 points there, Jim.
I know. I should have just stuck with it. Always, I think if you hadn't have said...
Always go with your
I know. Instinct. It's because you said, I'm going to throw you.
I'm here to mess you about. Don't listen to me.
I know.
So my job is to mess you about. So I thought,
Henri started as a midfielder, so I was
You don't think you two being great at this every week is good for the listeners, do you?
No.
Because I don't. I think they get really annoyed with it.
Mm.
So...
I'm annoyed.
I'm a prick. Week 9, Player 2, Part 1. I was born on the 12th of October 1980, making me 43. I was born in Bow, England. I'm 6'2". I won the League Cup in 2008. I played 21 England games, scoring 2 goals. Who am I? For those listening at home, I was born on the 12th of October 1980, making me 43. I was born in Bow, England. I'm 6'2". I won the League Cup in 2008. And I played 21 England games, scoring 2 goals. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Answers on a postcard. Zip. And we have a name. Part 2. In 1999, I joined Tottenham, staying till 2012. Making 268 appearances, scoring 10 goals. Lot of pros around my time lauded me as the best CB of my generation. I didn't get to show or reach my full potential. Who am I? So part 2 is I joined Tottenham in 1999. I stayed till 2012. I played 268 games, scoring 10 goals. A lot of pros around my time lauded me as the best CB of my generation. I didn't get to show or reach my full potential. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Answers on a postcard. We have answers. Part 3. I was a one club man. I was never even loaned out to a second club. Some would even class me as royalty. My initials are LK. Who am I? So part 3 is I was a one club man, never even on loan at a second club. Some would even class me as royalty. My initials are LK. Who am I? And we both got it right. The answer, of course, was Ledley King, hence the royalty clue.
Yeah.
Jim got 3 points, and Tim got 1. So we're doing all right here, boys. We're doing all right. We've got no zeros. I just tried to make you feel better. I know you have got a zero.
I was going to say. Feel better.
Didn't work. Because I smiled at him, so it didn't work.
I shouldn't have a zero, but there we go.
No, you should have had 5. Yeah. Week 9, Player 3, Part 1. I was born on the 18th of May, 1978, making me 46 years old. I was born in Amarante, Portugal. I'm 6'4". I started my youth career at Amarante, 89 to 1995. I went on youth to Porto, 95 to 97. I then started my senior career at Porto in 1997. Who am I? For those at home. I was born on the 18th of May 1978, making me 46 years old. I was born in Amarante, Portugal. I'm 6 foot. I started my youth at Amarante from 1989 to 1995. I then moved youth contracts to Porto in 95 to 97. I then started my senior career at Porto in 1997. Who am I? Answers on a postcard. We have 1 answer there. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have 2 names. And I haven't written myself a clue, so I don't know who it is. Part two. I was at Porto from 97 to 2004, making 73 appearances, scoring 3 goals. I then, in 04, joined Chelsea. And I was at Chelsea from 04 till 2010, making 135 appearances, scoring 7 goals. I then joined Real Madrid from 10 to 2013, with 50 appearances, 3 goals. I was at Monaco from 2013 to 2016, 95 games, 2 goals. I played for Portugal from 2003 to 2016, making 89 appearances, scoring 5 goals. Who am I? For those guys at home, Porto 97 to 04, 73 games, 3 goals. Chelsea 04 to 10, 135 games, 7 goals. Real Madrid 10 to 13, 50 games, 3 goals. Excuse me, Monaco 13 to 16, 95 games, 2 goals. I played Portugal 03 to 16, playing 89 games, scoring 5 goals. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have a name, and we have a name. Part 3. I was a centre-back. At Chelsea, I won 3 Premier Leagues, 3 FA Cups, 2 League Cups, and 2 Charity Shields. At Real Madrid, I won a league, a Copa, and a Super Copa España. I won the European Championship in 2016. Who am I? We have one name so far. So for the guys at home, I'm a centre-back. At Chelsea, I won 3 Premier Leagues, 3 FA Cups, 2 League Cups, and 2 Charity Shields, Community Shields. At Real Madrid, I won a league, a Copa, and a Super Copa de España, and I won the European Championship in 2016. Who am I? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I've seen your name.
I'm wrong, so I can't think of his name.
Read the name you're halfway through, Ryan.
It's not a player.
It's not a player.
He's not a player because his name's gone. I know exactly who it is. I just don't know his name.
As soon as he said on the third one, I was like, why didn't I put on that second one?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think he's got it right as well, but he hasn't written it, so I can't give it him. But
Carver kind of thing.
Keep going. Carver.
I know exactly who you
are. That's how I'm writing it.
I might give it you. Because his name's...
Yeah, Carvalho. Yeah,
Ricardo Carvalho is the player that it was. And I think I will give you both a point on that because you knew who it was.
You
were halfway. Name, right?
Yeah.
So that's a point each.
I know we were...
So that's 3, 4, 5. Plays 4. So your 5 tin ribs takes you up to 62. And your 4 takes you up to 59, so they're still in 3 points, isn't it? It's still very close. You didn't lose face then.
No.
That way.
So
that's not too bad.
Really struggled to think of a Portuguese player from that era.
My problem was, I completely forgot Carvalho was Portuguese, and then as soon as he started on the third one, I was like, of course he did, because Mourinho brought him from Porto with him, and no one had heard of him at that
point. And the reason you forgot about it is because we've got a friend called Carvalho who happens to be from Brazil and not Portugal. So correct. I thought it might throw in because of Marcus.
It's a bloody Portuguese. That.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to do is, because we're not sure if Jim Jam's going to be here for part 3 or if we're even going to do a part 3 this week. We're not sure what's going on just yet because we've started it very late because of the football. So we'll go straight into accountability for myself and Jim Jam. I don't know why I've only picked one book up because one's mine and one's yours. So I need both of them really. So Jim Jam's accountability is you've lost quite a bit of weight. So you've gone from 16.2 to 15.12, which means you've lost a whole £4 in a week, which is bloody good going. I've lost, you ready for this? Nothing. So I was 15.13 last week, and I'm currently 15.13. I was 42 waist, I'm 42 belly, I'm still exactly the same. And I feel like I've had a really good week this week as well.
Strange, isn't it?
I've joined a Sunday league team for training. I was in the gym Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I had Thursday off, played football Friday. And I feel like I've done really well this week and no change at all. Nothing.
Top tip, get smashed.
You got pissed. You lost £4. And although your belly's still the same, you haven't lost anything off there. You've put on your waist, which could be because you're wearing big trousers today, to be fair. So it could genuinely be the same. We're not completely accurate with the way we sort of, you know, measure and what have you. It's just quite a basic... A basic setup, as we said on episode 1, when we said we've got a basic setup, and then our camera fell over.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still on a basic setup for most of what we do. To be fair, most of the stuff that we've got, like we've bought a cheap background just for some, because people were complaining about the green screen and we weren't coming across properly, so we've bought a cheap background and this sort of thing on the microphone, which is cheap and just for a bit of fun, but we are still very basic. So, and you know, we're still in the shed in a back garden, kicking about. So, what we are going to do is we're going to talk about some of the games this week.
You know, I'll start off and say, you know what? I'm quite liking the new Champions League format. So far, my first impression is I quite like it.
I'm not a hater. I'm not a hater.
Because I think it might make the competition go a long way, because I think to come in the top eight is obviously going to be a challenge to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And it could go down to the last game and the games could matter at the end. You know where teams qualify with like two games to go and they can just field team. This
you're not really going to have that.
I don't think that'll happen. You only get one chance against a team as well. So
you don't drop down to the next competition, which I like.
I like that as well, yeah. And you look at teams like, I'll say, it's Monaco, isn't it? Monaco got a result with Barcelona. Mm. And they're probably looking at that game thinking, okay, we could beat them, but it's going to be bonus points. And they've got...
We're looking at like maybe getting a draw.
And they haven't got to play them. You know, Villa have got off to a good start.
Villa got off to a very good start.
Inter Milan.
Celtic,
good start.
5-1 win. When was the last time they scored five in Europe?
Yeah.
I mean, they've scored five in the last 5 years of being there, have they?
But they're probably playing, they're beating the team that they need to beat.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is they're getting teams that they need to beat. Whereas on a three-team format, because I know there's four in the league,
yeah,
there's only three that you play. So on a three-team format,
You might be the team.
You're going to be the team that everyone's looking at to smash.
Yeah.
Whereas now, when you get to play seven teams or eight teams or whatever it is now that you get to play, I think it's eight, and you get eight games. So you get to play eight different teams. You don't even play them twice. I like that as well.
Like Inter Milan have gone to City, and it's like, oh, bonus points here. And they've got a point.
Yeah.
They've played well, very well defensively and even attacking as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched your game against Atlanta. We've already touched upon the goalkeeper save, so we won't go too much into it. I thought it looked like a game that you were never going to score. It was a bit drab on the attacking side of things.
And I honestly, I looked at it and thought, why are we not just annihilating these? And then I remembered, this is the team, the only team,
to beat
Leverkusen last season.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, actually, when you look at it like that, they're not as bad as I was making them out to be.
No.
So probably a draw is a fair result, especially away from home as well.
Yeah.
A draw is probably a decent result for Arsenal on that particular run of events, should we say. I was probably being a bit too hard on them.
All I'll say is it's got my interest.
Which is this something. Year.
Normally when we're not in the competition, obviously...
I've got no interest in it.
Yeah, because obviously Southampton, they're probably never going to be in it.
Hmm. Leicester probably said that a few years back, and they've been in it a couple of times
now. That's why you say probably never be in it.
Yeah, I mean, but there's always a chance.
I know as a kid I used to watch it because it was on ITV. It's not not anymore, but...
It's always nice. I will say...
I quite like the watching Match of the Day with the highlights show, so at least people can watch the Champions League.
Yeah, without having to splash out thousands of pounds every few years on bloody Sky and TNT and God knows what else you have to do. And
yeah.
This, that and the other, it's a pain in the arse now to pay all that money to watch football and watch whatever you want to watch on telly. It's a bloody nightmare.
So as of right now, I'm a fan of it.
I quite like the Champions League format. Tim Ribs, any interest at all?
It's different, and for me it still annoys me that they call it the Champions League.
I think they should rename it.
And there's like 80% of the teams in the league are not champions.
I think they should rename it, for sure.
I'm glad it's finally a league.
I don't understand why they don't just call it the European Cup.
Yeah.
Because it's a cup that you play for.
But for me it's like
European teams.
Yeah,
it's a European Cup. Just leave it at the European Cup. Because, like I say, when was the last time?
Well, the European League. Because it's now a league. It's finally a league. But
okay, European
not
league.
Every team's playing each other. You're not playing each other twice. I don't know.
I prefer that.
At the moment, I'm not sure.
I'm kind of non-plus at the minute. You're not against it, but you're not for it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, at least you're not dead set against it. So there's nobody I've spoken to yet.
But you've got to think we've got
dead against it.
No. What, we've got about 30 years of the old system ingrained into us.
I think for so many people to be on board so quickly says a lot. Because normally when you give football fans change,
they don't like it.
It does not go well. Like from day one, it does not go well. I mean, look at the Premier League. Everyone maybe against that for ages. Didn't
well, they? Maybe they actually put some thought into it.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second. Don't believe anyone at FIFA or UEFA has put a thought in anything.
I mean, you want that top eight, don't you? You don't want to play a playoff game.
No.
But again, you do, and you want that top eight. But the problem you've got is you might not get a chance to have influence on that top eight because you might not play those teams. You don't get to do the whole what you would call a six-pointer game.
Yeah,
so by
I
not
get that.
Playing each other, you do leave that little gap open for, oh, well, I never got to play any of them. I couldn't take points off them. I couldn't add points to them. That's my only sort of real downside on it.
I think you're less likely, which I like, you're less likely to be playing a team in the semi-final thinking these have already beat us in the league. You're less likely to be facing that.
Yeah.
And I quite like that.
Yeah.
Because you do get teams going into it with a negative mentality and you've got a negative connotation on the game before you've even begun. Because they've already beaten you in the league. And yes, you scraped through, but now you're facing them again, and your team's the one that got beat, so you're like, oh, well, we've already lost once. So I don't think you can have that too many times now. No. I think it's less likely to happen. And I think that's a great thing as well.
Like I say, for me, the jury's still out. I haven't made up my mind up whether I like it or not, but I just think there's...
Are you going to watch any of them?
Passing interest.
You're not really the target audience, then, are you? It's people like him that are going to watch
it.
Because
I'm in the Championship.
Well, you'd have watched it if you were in the Championship, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
If you've got, if it's like it is this year.
Yeah.
To sort of have a look and see what's going on. So
do you not think this is sort of like a precursor to the Super League?
I think that's exactly what they're trying to do, yeah. But I don't think they're going to get the Super League as it was pushed through anyway. Because I think there's going to be so much backlash against it that I don't think they're going to be able to do it. Because the fans are going to revolt again. And fans have the power. Fans have the power. They've already proved that.
Even if it's now a proven product.
But it's not, though, is it? Because the Super League, as they were going for, have got five divisions, six divisions, three blue, two silver and a platinum or whatever it was. There's now relegation and promotion within that group. And it was all mess. Nobody wants to see
that. No, but what I mean is...
Going for a European Cup, having a few games in the league... Going to a knockout stage.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
For that. But to take teams away from your league, to set them in a league, different
stories. No, I don't think that'll happen. That'll never happen. What I mean is, it's almost like the Champions League is being geared up to be privatised.
Then I think they'll have backlash.
Even if it's no different to the Premier League. The Premier League was Division 1, privatised.
It was.
And that's kind of how this feels to me.
But ours only affected us. If you do that in Europe, you're affecting everybody across Europe.
What I'm saying is, it still seems a little bit...
I think the only teams pushing for it are the likes of Real and Barca, the ones that are struggling for money. I think if you look at Newcastle, Arsenal, Tottenham, Man City, and you're trying to give them a financial incentive, I mean, unless you can give it City under the table, they're not going to be looking at it anyway, are they?
I mean, if... City get proper screwed over and, well, not screwed over, but you know what I mean.
Properly
like,
reprimanded.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't
do they get push for it even more?
Didn't they say they could get was 30 points?
They don't need
points.
The financial rewards.
Didn't they say something about the maximum points they could get deducted was 30 points at the start of the hearing? I heard something about that, but I mean, again.
Yeah, tell Juventus that.
Hmm?
Tell Rangers that. Rangers was financial. They lost four leagues.
Yeah.
So tell them that the maximum you can get is a 30-point deduction.
And they had to go all the way back to the start.
To do it. And then when they got back to the Premier League, the Scottish FA come out and went, I think we made a mistake. I don't think we did the right thing with Glasgow Rangers. Have you not heard that?
No.
Have you never heard that? Yeah, the Scottish FA have come out and said, we think we've made a mistake. We think we looked at this wrong. And they've wrongly...
No.
Yeah, apparently. I'm surprised there wasn't more made of it, like...
That's probably why they didn't.
But yeah, so that.
What? But they shouldn't have done what they did.
They shouldn't have relegated them to the bottom league because apparently the financial irregularities that were proved at the time have now come out to be not so proven. Mm. I heard that a couple of years ago on the radio somewhere.
Well, at least with Juve, it was definite match fixing.
There was no two ways about it. I mean, you're cheating. And eventually Juventus had to go, you're right, yeah, we sort of screwed this up and screwed that on. On your way.
Yeah, they take the punishment and work their way back.
Whereas with Rangers, apparently it was a bit like Arsenal's last two red cards. Probably shouldn't have happened. I'm going to keep going on about it because I'm not happy. Anyway.
No, they were both red cards. Yeah. You just want the same treatment from the other team.
Yes.
So exactly. Stop saying they were not red cards. They were red cards. You just want...
When somebody's done the same thing beforehand and not been booked, it's then not a yellow card.
So you've set your precedent.
You've set your precedent that kicking the ball away is not a yellow card offence.
Yeah.
So then when Trossard kicks the ball away, or Rice half kicks the ball away, that's a not a yellow card, because you've already told us it's not in the first half. So not a red card.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have yesterday Leeds 2, Cardiff 0 with a red card. How do you feel?
We should have scored a hell of a lot more than two.
Do you feel you played well? Happy with it?
No, because I think we
should. You're not happy with the finishing, but you're happy with the way they played? The actual game, the passing, the moving, the
within
creating
reason,
chances.
I think Gruev needs to be benched and Tanaka needs to come in and now be pretty much the CM with Ampadu. We need to be more clinical. We're having all this possession and we're just not putting the ball in the back of the net.
So you need that
and
desperately good strike.
The backwards passing is starting to get a bit tedious, and that's why I think we need Tanaka. Because
now,
he looks like he can put a good ball through. He seems to be very actively progressive, whereas Gruev, he's like a fucking crab. Sideways and backwards only.
Like a Xhaka then. How do you feel about your game? Because we got Southampton 1, Ipswich 1, but you did feel like Arsenal today. You conceded in the 95th minute.
It's just how it goes. It's unfortunate, but we should have took chances in the game, like Archer round the keeper and he hit the post.
That should have been a goal, I think.
Yeah.
I really think that should have been a goal.
I mean, the defenders were on the line, so it may have got cleared off the line if he'd have put it on target, but
I'm going to word it like this. You're looking at it from where he hit it from. At the point in which he hits it, you're right, but then he's hit the post. If he hits it before, the defender ate back there.
He should score that.
He just took too long of the ball.
As the weeks go on, and a point isn't enough, because them 3 points would have been massive, you know.
Oh, they're still going to be massive. Like, the fact that you haven't got them is going
to
be
massive.
Because
we got to win 10 games.
Yeah.
A minimum of 10 games.
And
we've got
to
win.
One of the teams you had to beat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
And I'm sorry, when you're looking at, and you're looking at the promoted team, so we're looking at Leicester and Ipswich, that's 4 games. Who else are we? So that's only 4 wins, and we've lost one of them. Who's the other teams you're looking at? Everton at the moment, so that's only another games.
That's a win for everyone.
I don't think that's a possibility. I think you've beaten Everton already.
You know,
just let them go 2 up.
You're talking difficult games against the likes of Wolves and Fulhams and West Ham's.
I've got to be honest, I think Wolves have been absolutely horrendous.
They were good in the first half.
So
Villa and Newcastle.
So
Everton.
Everton were 2 up and still lost.
And when they played Chelsea, and it was a really good game, and then half-time happened, and they all just stayed in the changing room.
Yeah.
So, I'm disappointed, but I don't know how long Russell Martin can sustain the way he's playing football in the Premier League. It's nice to watch, but mistakes happen, and we very nearly conceded a goal because of it, dead early on, because they went on the press. So he needs to really adapt. A lot of it was really good, and you know, Adam Lallana was superb. My biggest concern is he can't play 90 minutes. So we need to do a lot, which I'm okay with. If he can play an hour
and do that well.
And obviously I said at the start of season, Tyler Dibling, he's so good. His value's going up. And unfortunately, he's going to get bought by somebody at the end of a season.
Especially if you go down.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah.
That's a lot of
absolutely.
Your players go. if you go down this time. I think you need to survive this season.
Absolutely.
I think you need to pick up somewhere.
Ramsdale was superb. And there was nothing he could do about the goal. It was just dumb luck.
Took it away from him.
It's just dumb luck, isn't it? The fact that we probably deserved 3 points, but we've got one. But at least one's better than
I'm complaining a bit about Ramsdale, but as I said earlier, Raya has probably been the best keeper on the planet so far this season, so I can't really complain as much as he was dog shit last year.
But I think all I want now is... It looks like we'll get relegated. If we don't, it's a bonus.
You don't pick up,
so all I'll say is, take the League Cup seriously.
Yeah, you need
something. It's massive. Yeah. You know, we're in the next round. We don't know who we're playing until next week. You've got a chance,
because nobody really takes it seriously until the final. So if you go all out, you've got a chance.
We just need we need a good draw.
You need something to click, I think. Over the next couple of games, you need something to click somewhere. Just to give you your players that impetus and that incentive to just, you know, we can do this, we belong here.
But we've got a big squad, so he is going to have to rotate. But I like the fact that he's changing the team up as well, and he's starting to look like Smallbone was dropped, which was fine. Stevens was suspended, so that was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully...
We'll quickly whip through the others because we've just hit the end of your time. Anyway, Jim Jam, you're definitely going to have to go. So we've got Tottenham 3, Brentford 1. Tottenham played really well after Brentford scored an absolute screamer to open the scoring. West Ham 0, Chelsea 3. Not sure how that happened, because if you watch the game, West Ham were by far and away the better team during that game. By a country mile. How the fuck Chelsea came away with a 3-0 win, only West Ham will know, because they were far better. Villa 3, Wolves 1. Wolves took the lead. Villa, quite rightly and quite deservedly, got back into the game and won it because they were better. Fulham 3, Newcastle 1. Who'd have thought Smith Rowe was going to be a good player? I wonder how many people interested in Arsenal would have known that. Strange. He scored again, as did Nelson, although his was relatively easier. Leicester 1, Everton 1. Everton took the lead and did what they do best, threw it away. Liverpool 3, Bournemouth 0, but nobody cares about that. Saints 1, Ipswich 1, Tottenham 3, Brentford 1, and then Crystal Palace 0, Man United 0. Definitely the most exciting game of the weekend. What a fucking ball fest that was. And then, of course, we've got today, we had Brighton 2, Forest 2, with a red card, which I think was very unjust, because I did watch the game. I don't think Gibbs White should have been sent off for what he was second yellow carded for. Very harsh, in my opinion, personally. Deserved his first yellow. Second yellow I thought was extremely harsh, and I don't think he should have been sent off. Because of that, Santo then got sent off because he was kicking off. And Hursler of Brighton was also sent off.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of red cards, but most of them were off the pitch. And bloody good performance by Forest to keep the 2-2, in my opinion. And then we had, of course, the corrupt Man City versus Arsenal game, which ended 2-2. I just feel like we were incredibly unlucky to concede right at the end. And as I said before, PGMOL are not fucking helping themselves because they have too many bad decisions in too many games. Gibbs White should never have been a yellow. Not in a million years. No second one. I don't give a shit whether Forest get players sent off or not. That was not a sending off. Disgusting.
You've turned him to him this year.
Yeah, moaning at the refs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they're going to be that bad...
I mean, if they're going to allow goals where there's a clear foul on the goalkeeper, there's a blatant foul. I mean, you've just got to agree that they're shit.
Yeah. I have to agree. It was a foul. I don't want it.
Yeah.
And at first looking, I did argue with you. I said it's not. And then they slowed it down. And you're like, actually, it was a foul.
Yeah.
Martinelli did foul Edison.
Yeah.
And he intentionally looked at him, turned his back, and pushed his back into it. It was a foul.
So on the grand scale of things. Justified result.
A draw was potentially fair, but it should have been 1-1, and we should have had 11 men on the pitch. We've been through this. If your first decision is Doku can kick the ball away and not get yellow carded, that is the precedent you've set for this game. So therefore, anyone that kicks the ball away is not a yellow card, because the first one wasn't. If he'd have booked Doku, No argument.
We're not saying that Doku shouldn't have been booked.
But he wasn't. So that's then the precedent that referee has set for that game. You kicking the ball away is not a yellow card. That is what your official has decided. That is how I'm going to officiate this game. You're allowed to kick the ball away. No. City are allowed to kick the ball away. Arsenal are not. That's the precedent he set for that game. And that's
easy
the
thing
precedent.
Is, don't kick the ball away.
That's the exact precedent that was set against Brighton. Brighton can kick the ball away, fine. Arsenal kick the ball away, yellow card. Tell me I'm wrong. That's what the ref decided on the day. I'm not on about what the rules state. I'm on about what the referee showed on that game. That's all I'm saying. If you don't want us to think that you're cheating, stop cheating. It's about as simple as that, really. So that is the end of part two, and definitely the end of your podcast. Maybe the end of ours, we don't know yet. So we shall see you beautiful people either in a few minutes or next week. We're not actually sure what's going on yet because we are that organised. Brilliant. We love you all. Thank you very much.